الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام العبرة بالخواتيم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Allah blessed us with this, with our life. And in our life, how many Ramadans came? And from Ramadan, let us understand the value of life also. Alhamdulillah, hopefully all of us, we paid a little bit more attention in Ramadan. That the time of Ramadan is valuable. We can't neglect it. Like that, understand our whole life, every moment is very, very valuable. It cannot be neglected. From Ramadan, understand the value of every moment of our life. And to understand that, we see Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, how many places He took qasam of time. In this ayat, openly, wal asr, Allah Ta'ala took qasam of time. For us, as human beings, we are only allowed to take qasam of Allah. We cannot take qasam of anything else. Allah Ta'ala takes qasam of His great creations. And so, yeah, where Allah has taken qasam of time, wal fajr, yes, wal asr, asr time, or time generally, wal fajr, the time of fajr, and many other places also. The qasam Allah Ta'ala takes, so it shows that on what Allah has taken qasam is a very great thing. Time is a very great thing. And unfortunately, we just pass time. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali said so beautifully, that those people who wish to pass time, they fail time. Pass, yeah, has got two meanings. To pass time, to while your time away, and to pass is to pass in an exam. So those who want to pass their time just while their time away, doing nothing, just going for a drive, going for a holiday to pass time, going here, going there, etc. These people are failing time. What time was supposed, for example, we go for a holiday, and usually a person only looks at things from one perspective, his own perspective. And a thing can be seen from so many different sides. For example, a pious family, they go for a holiday, so willingly, and you paying for it also to stay away from the masjid namaz. Because on a holiday you will be making namaz in all probability at the resort where you are going to stay. So your jamaat namaz, your masjid namaz, what a big sacrifice you have made. And people say very hard to sacrifice. But yeah, what a sacrifice. Your namaz with jamaat, the house of Allah you sacrifice. And a mu'min sacrifice it. One is a person is on travel for some necessity, whatever, going to see family for deen's sake, for business sake. And then he's caught up someplace, he stays in a hotel, and he can't make it to the masjid. That's a different thing. But this voluntarily, one whole week that I won't go to the masjid, or 1 or 10 days, whatever it might be. So what a thing. And then the holiday resorts are such places where there is so much of nudity also. Right? And it's the order of the day, the nudity. Now the park, Mubarak environment of the masjid, where you only saw like farishtas all the time, angels you are seeing. Now willingly, of your own accord, you exchange that for that environment. In the masjid, where namaz takes place, tilawat takes place, dhikr takes place, du'as take place, bayans take place, what and what good things. You're going to a place where adultery takes place. And now even worse, lesbianism and homosexuality. Those are the things what those places are for. So for that, and you're going now in that environment. A person goes to the haram of Makkah, Sharif, and his first step he puts in the haram. From Adam alayhi salatu wasalam's time till the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, every Nabi made Hajj of Baytullah. So all their barakat are mahfuz, are kept intact in Baytullah. And with your first step in there, you get all that for you. It's just a matter of opening our hearts. If we leave our hearts closed, that's our own problem. But if we open our hearts, and for that, we have to go to our shaykh and spend our time and open our hearts. Like people go to Niagara Falls, Victoria Falls, to go and see the falls. And those falls are what great qudrat of Allah. The splashes of it goes far away. From where the tourists stand and look at it, the splashes reach them and they in fact get wet. Their clothes get wet. And then they hire out plastic raincoats there that you wear there so that you don't get wet. So there, not to get wet from the splashes of the waterfalls, you have to wear a raincoat. But when these Mubarak times come, when we go to the Haram, Medina Sharif, Makkah Sharif, we have to take off our raincoat of guna, which blocks the rahmat of Allah. And open our hearts, our closed, blocked hearts, we open them up. And then all by standing in front of Rozai Mubarak, reading Salatu Salam, making tawaf around Kaaba Sharif, if our hearts are open, that person's life is different. And we see so many people who went, but they made Toba sincere, they cleansed their heart. They came back like big awliya. They went from here with suit and tie, when no beard. And when they came back, their dressing was different. Their outside was different. Their inside was different. So the same with this great month of Ramadan also. And if we go to the wrong places, then all that evil, it is there. The linen can be sparkling white and looking very clean. All the utensils in which there was pork, in which there was wine in those glasses, now it's washed, it's clean. Masala, it's permissible, you can use it. There is 100% you can use it. But undoubtedly that effect of those things, the ta'asurat is still in there. And it will affect a person. No matter how much you want to save yourself, it will affect you. If we come into the masjid, if it's a hot day, and they've got cooling facilities, aircon, fans, etc., as you put your first step in the masjid, you can feel it. And if it's a cold day, and they got heating facilities, outside was cold, as you put your first step, you can feel it. The same way, if we go to the Haramain, to the Masajid, to the righteous places, Madaris, etc., Khankas, Tablighi Marakis, etc., then if we should feel that difference. If we are not feeling it, our senses are dead. And if a person stinks, buds are dead, he's a sick person. Something is wrong with him. If a person, one friend of ours, was such an acute diabetic that one day he stood under the shower with actually boiling water coming out. The result was he had to have his legs amputated. They got burned so badly. But he didn't feel the pain because his sugar, he was such an acute sugar patient, he suffers a heart attack, but he doesn't feel the pain also. He doesn't know. So if our dini senses are dead, and we don't feel when we come in the masjid, the environment of the masjid, I mean the house of Allah. And yeah, the namazes, there are people making, somebody in ruku, somebody in sajda. Or even if the masjid is empty, it's filled with malaika and this beautiful environment. But if I don't feel it, if I go to the haram of Makkah and I didn't feel anything, I went to the haram of Medina Sharif, where Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam is present now at the moment. And still if I don't feel anything, then my sense, I need very great spiritual treatment that I'm not feeling anything. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So with this month of Ramadan, if we could understand the value of time, and then as we come into the end now, that will show al-ibratu bil khawatim. A person, the results of things is how the end of the things are. Anything, the end of namaz, if we, our namaz ends in that way, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. Not just reading the dua, but really in our hearts, that Ya Allah, I didn't fulfill the rites of namaz. Namaz, such a great ibadah. The greatest qurb, the greatest closeness to you, O Allah, is in namaz. You brought me from my home. You gave me the azan to hear. I came to the masjid. I came to your house. And then in your house, you brought me more closer to you. You made me make my namaz. And in my namaz, when Allah Ta'ala, وتقلبهم في قد نرى الذي يراك حين تقوم وتقلبك في الساجدين. الله أكبر. And for Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام, Allah said, وإنك بأعيننا. For all of us, Allah تعالى says that what we just read now, الذي يراك. Allah is that being who sees you. حين تقوم, when you are standing up. وتقلبك في الساجدين, when you are making your sajdas, Allah is watching you. When you're doing something and you know your boss is watching, you know your beloved is watching, you know they know what you are doing. Your wife gets up middle of the night to go and prepare something for you, and you come become aware she's sacrificing so much for me. She's not well also. She's coughing, she's sniffing, snuffing, but still she's doing this for me. How much? Allah is watching you. When you are standing in namaz, when you are in sajda, and for Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, Allah says, فَإِنَّكَ بِعَيُنِنَ. You are in our eyes all the time. Like somebody who you love, you say, you in my eyes. Wherever you are, wherever it is, however, you are in my eyes all the time. So if we build our namazes, we build, this was the month of Ramadan. Allah gave us a auspicious occasion to make that ta'alluq, that closeness with Allah Ta'ala. So how does the end come now? That every person, one is naturally how it comes. When we're finishing our namaz, and just naturally, Ya Allah, I did not fulfill the rites of namaz. You gave me such a great opportunity. جِئْنَا بِبِضَاعَةٍ مُسْجَاتٍ. We came with just some little effort from our side. Not worth anything. It is just to be thrown away, what we presented. جِئْنَا بِبِضَاعَةٍ مُسْجَاتٍ فَأُوْفِي لَنَا الْكَيْلِ. But we know you are such that even on that you will give the full return. Allahu Akbar. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah had explained that Allah's system is such. Like for example, there is a person who's selling his vegetable, fruit and vegetable, on the street corner. So the whole day, his best choice, things the people came, everyone chose the best tomatoes, the best bananas, what the best apples, they had no marks on it. Now towards the end, evening time, only that is left which is now like not worth anything. And now a customer comes, he says, I'll buy all this, and how much you sold for the whole day, I'll give you double that amount. This person is over the moon, if you're his customer. Allah says, I am like that. That Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah is that person who has bought from you, from the mu'mineen, their nafs. And what is nafs? Ammara bisu, lawama. Nafs is dirty, nafs is filthy, nafs commands you to do evil, that I bought. And your wealth, which is also contaminated so much, that I bought. Full of faults, your wealth is full of faults. Your actions are full of faults. Your intentions are full of faults. I bought that, and in return, bi'anna lahumul jannah. I give you jannah bi'aib, which got no faults in it. In jannah, not even toilets there in jannah. Some person asks a question that what will happen? How can jannah be when you're going to be eating all the time? And you can eat as much as you want to. Here in this dunya, one person, a king, he ate so much that, as we will say, up to the neck, up to the throat. So he told the Hakim, give me something to digest my food. So he gave him some powder. So he told him, you're a stupid. Your father was a Hakim, he's stupid. Your grandfather was a Hakim, he's stupid. That if I had place, I should put another samosa in my mouth. Give me something that I can rub on my stomach to digest the food. For if I can put something in my mouth, I'll put another samosa, another pie in my mouth. So that is our condition, the way we're. So after eating so much in Jannat, you'll just be eating all the time. You won't get full. For your pleasure and enjoyment you will eat. How will the food get digested? In the form of sweet smelling perspiration. Yeah, when we perspire, in summer, you have to go shower twice a day. You feel uneasy sitting amongst people. How you feel? But in Jannah, nothing like that. You take one belch, the car, and all the food will get digested. Yeah, when you take the car, after eating so much, how many of us, iftari time, we have a full meal, the way we eat. As though we didn't see food. And now, and when Eid is coming again, as though the whole month we didn't eat. We ate more than usual, we ate more rich food than usual. Now Eid, we're going to town. Well, now I have to eat. Whole month I didn't eat. And each morning we tell the family also, hey, come, let's sit down now. Whole month we suffered. We didn't eat. How much we ate? We feasting the whole month. So like that year also, a person, when he wants to eat, and overeating. But in Jannah, you can carry on eating all the time. And you can just enjoy, and it's getting digested by itself all the time. So Allah Ta'ala give us from this month to understand the value of time. And for life, that we understand the value. Every moment, there was that great Buzurg, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali writes, who took the trouble, who of us they make that check on these things? We check our fuel consumption. How much am I getting on my, with my fuel, on my car? We check how much electricity I'm using, how much water, if this happens, that happens, what's our consumption? Many other things we check. But he checked that to eat porridge, cook it, prepare the porridge and then eat it. And one is you just put the porridge, the powder in your mouth, drink water. It does the same work. When it's in the stomach, it does the same work. What's the difference in time? Difference in time, he found 70 subhanallahs. And to say 70 subhanallah is not 1 minute. So from then he stopped cooking the porridge, just had it like that. So I can say 70 times subhanallah more. Our minds don't even go for our deeny matters to check. And see, yeah, we waste hours and hours, we waste our time. For dunya's matters, we are, dunya mein tera aqal, teri aqal kya kar gayi? As far as dunya is concerned, what and what didn't your brains achieve? You are flying in the air, you are swimming, you are going in your submarines below the water, bottom of the ocean. What and what you have achieved, what your akal in this dunya. Deen mein wo kaha mar gayi. But when it comes to matters of deen, small, straight, open, forward matters, that we can't seem to understand. And we can't seem to accept. And we have got problems with the simple, straightforward matters. The Mubarak, Nurani, Tariqa of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which Allah Ta'ala had loved, the most beautiful way of life for the entire creation, for the Malaika, for the jinn, from long before Adam alayhi salam's time, right till Qiyamah, the most beautiful way of life Allah loved. Allah gave it all to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is that most beautiful way in each and everything. We cannot imagine Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on one occasion walking when he was in Makkah Sharif still. And the old lady trying to put her bundle of wood on her head. So Nabi alayhi salam immediately went forward, "I'll carry it for you, auntie." And she said, "If you can help me put it on my head." He said, "Yes, but not your head, my head. I will carry it. And you just give me instructions to where must I take it to. And I will follow you, and where you tell me to put it, I will put it." And on the way, she's telling, "You are so kind, you got so good natured. Be very careful. There's one man here, Muhammad. He's a very evil man, waliyazu billah. He takes people away from their old religion. He makes families break up. Don't ever come in contact with him. Stay away from him." And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam giving her good advice. "Auntie, always your children, give them good advice. Be kind to your grandchildren." All giving her good advice. When they come to the place where she wanted a house, put the down. "But who are you?" He said, "I'm the same Muhammad you are talking about." She said, "Before you put that down, cleanse my heart of kufr and shirk. If there's a man like you, then this is what who is a man." So that who was our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahu Akbar. So this is what we have to gain in this month. We are now coming towards the end. Al-ibratu bil khawatim. How much of change has come into us. How much the value of time. Asr, time. And Allah Ta'ala took qasam of asr time. And asr is that, like many times you even ask in the family, "You made your asr already?" "No, not yet." Time is going. Just now will be maghrib. Don't waste time. And the women have got a habit also, until they are not spiritually trained, that they make their fajr in ishraq time. They make their zohar in asr time. Asr they make it in maghrib time. Maghrib they make it in isha time. Isha time when the husband now is in bed and he wants his wife. Now they're reading the whole day's namazes. And they're reading all their nafals also. When I was in Germiston, I was very impressed with one person that every day ishraq time is in the masjid. Till somebody told me he doesn't come for fajr. He comes now to use the masjid toilets. And then he makes his namaz here. And whether it was the same person or another person, every day I saw after maghrib, long namazes, mashallah. Pious man, bawabin. Somebody told me his whole day's qaza namazes he's making. Whole day he doesn't make namaz. And then he makes all his qazas one time. So anyway, this is now, if we're the person who could have learned the value of time, Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abul Ghudda, rahimahullah, a great Syrian alim who spent his life more in Saudi. And he had great contact and great respect and honor for the ulama of Deoband. And he should visit them regularly also. He visited one such alim and he found that in his room where he stayed, made his mutala, everything, that there were two doors. And at both doors, he had sandals. So he told him, "Isn't this israf, waste? One sandal is enough for a person. You want to go this side, you take it from here, you use it. You want to go that side, you take, how not? 2 meters, 2.5 meters from there, that's little wide." So he says, "The reason I've kept 2 sandals, that the time it will take me to pick up that sandal and bring it here, I don't waste that time also." Right? He was considering the monetary expense. He was understanding the value of time. But today, time we just waste. In our conversations, we waste time. In so many things. Our Ustad, Hafiz Abdul Rahman, Mia Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, we saw on several occasions, from his house to the madrasa, he should come walking, and he had appointed students to come to his house. When he starts walking, they must hambarawa in Quran Sharif, they do. So that time also doesn't get. That's your time now to go to the madrasa. But that time also must not get wasted. And those students noticed, we noticed, that when he used to come to the madrasa, there was a gate. And to go to the gate was a long way. And if there's somebody coming and he apprehended this person will start talking to me now, then a man of respect, a senior elderly person of respect, he should go through the fences. That usually little boys do, jumping fences and going through fences. But just to avoid that time that I'll waste speaking to those people. So much the time. I remember once I was driving a car and I asked the officer where he was walking. I told him, he left. I'm going to the hostel. So he says, Maru Parwanu Reijahe. All what I have to read will get left out. I've got my set reading for this year. And if I sit in the car, then my reading will get left out. So every moment they had for some work of deen, no wastage of time. Allah give us tawfiq. So now at the end of Ramadan, many people, hopefully none of us, inshallah, but our duty to inform our other family people, our other friends, that they will now want to go for Eid shopping now. As if we haven't, if we open our cupboards, we can open a shop at home. The amount of shoes we have got. Once we were in South America, and there was a bayan for the ladies. So I went, and a hot country, and safe country also. So small houses, so I sat outside on the veranda. And I was going, and just there was a shoe rack. And shoes, every shelf full with shoes till the top. So I got very happy, and plenty of ladies have come. We can give our message to more people. Afterwards, my wife, Appa, told me it was only the house lady. All the shoes belong to her. So we can open shoe shops, we can open what and what shops if we just open our cupboards. And yet we're going for more shopping. So we don't need. And the expos we are going, all these are Western concepts and Western way of things. But we also just following. Hopefully none of us will go, but speak to other people. And tell them, not these things are not for us. For us is now the night of Eid, the night of prize giving, the night of Laylatul Qadr, which is in all probability right the last. How beautifully Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas was having a discussion, debate with Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas was of the opinion that Ramadan comes every year on the 27th night. And in his presentation, he said that there are 30 words in the surah, Inna anzalna fi laylatil qadr. And the 30 words refer to the 29.5 days, which if you round it off is 30 days. Ramadan, every month has got 30 days. So the 30 days. And then beginning Laylatul Qadr, it has got 9 alphabets in it, which refers to the 9th month of the year. 9 alphabets, 9 months is the month of Ramadan. And Allah repeated it 3 times. Inna anzalna fi Laylatul Qadr, wa ma adraka ma Laylatul Qadr, Laylatul Qadr khairun min alf shahr. 9 times 3 is 27. And in the surah at the end, hatta matla'il fajr. Here, 27th word. Here, hatta 28. Matla 29. Fajr 30. So it's the 27th word. And here is a pronoun referring to the night of Laylatul Qadr. So it's the 27th night. So what a beautiful explanation. Vast majority of ulama have got this, that every year Laylatul Qadr comes on the 27th night. But we must make effort all the last night, but at least, and make effort on the odd night. And then in any case, don't miss out on Laylatul Qadr. And this year we've got an extra bonanza, gift from Allah. It happens to be Jummah night also. So it's Jummah night also, and it is Laylatul 27th night also. So whatever we can, Of course, as we always hear, the bare minimum to make our Isha with Jamaat, and let us make it with Jamaat. Not only our bodies we leave here, and we are gone somewhere else. No, our soul, that is important. If there's a function, we are invited, and we go there, we park our cars, but we go somewhere else. They don't want the cars there. They want us to be there. So Allah don't want our bodies really only here. Allah want us, and we are the soul, the ruh. That is who we are. The minute the soul goes out, now they don't even refer to the person as Abdul Hamid. They say marhum. Marhum's body is here. The soul is everything. So that is, but we don't bring our soul in the masjid. And if we bring it, we just park our bodies here, and we are gone away where and where. Mi'raj, in that little while, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam met Allah Ta'ala. Our mi'raj here. We leave our bodies, and where we go, in the past and in the future, and where we do. We also have to make mi'raj, but not the mi'raj we are doing. Make mi'raj to reach Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. So let us try and avoid all these things. Then, hopefully no more. But previously, all youngsters, boys, girls, getting together at the zoo lake or at any other venue of entertainment, wherever some boat rides or whatever else, and then it's a fashion show for the girls to show all their dressing, what they have got, and showing off to all the boys. Was Ramadan meant for them? That is this what we got from Ramadan? And the parties that we have, it is the days of Eid, akliyum wa shurbin wa bi'alin, to eat and drink, to stay with the family, but not booking out at restaurants, etc. At home we entertain, and with the family we meet, and keeping in mind the parda. How many we get complaints of pious people who observe deen, but each day on the Eid table, they say that the brothers in the sons-in-law, sisters-in-law, all must sit at one table. We want unity here. Breaking the laws of Allah, there can be no unity. If you break the laws of Allah, Allah will break your neck. Allah will break your back. You won't have any unity. The problems that will arise there, that a relationship between one son-in-law and another daughter-in-law, and then the whole family is destroyed. And now you wonder that this was a good boy, and this was a good girl, but you put the seed. You made that all. And you don't know which moment shaitan causes that desire to come in a person. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali should give this example, that when the electricity department is working on the electricity, the lights, they send the notice, they should be sending officially, that from certain day, from this hour to this hour, there won't be current, there won't be lights. But treat all the wires as life, because for testing or anything, we might just switch on in between. So just like that, you don't know which moment you think you are safe. You are not a person who has got a bad habit. You're not a womanizer. You're not looking at woman. You haven't got all that. But which moment that spark can just come, and there things can go haywire. And therefore also, with regard to Eid, very, very important. Many families, good families also, the sons-in-law will go and make mu'anaka, embrace the mother-in-law. Or the father-in-law embraces his young daughters-in-law. These things are very dangerous. Yeah, keep it such a way that even your own daughter, don't shake hands with her. Make salam to her. Speak to her. But don't shake hands. You don't know which moment shaitan can just bring that desire. And if that desire has to come and you touch one another, then hurmat e musahara, which is worse than talaq-e-mughallaza. You give three talaqs. And some people, in their mockery of deen or their ignorance of deen, they say, I give you 1,000 talaqs. And after that, they stay again with her. For them, it means nothing. But three talaqs you give, irreparable. But there is a way. But if you the hurmat and musahara, there is no way whatsoever that you can reconcile again. And this will come not out of anger. The talaq you usually give, one person says that justifying his talaq, and Mufti Sahib must say, it wasn't talaq, I gave it in anger. So anger is a mitigation factor that it doesn't, talaq doesn't fall. So Mufti Sahib says that if you pull the trigger on somebody, you're angry with that person, and the bullet comes out, and not one, but three bullets. And now you tell me I must write out a birth certificate. I have to write out, the doctor has to write out a death certificate. You not only killed the person, you didn't make him dead, you made him deader. You made him deader. He's finished dead, dead, dead. He's deader. And now I must write out a birth certificate. How can that be? You gave, and then what they say? The Muftis break up the homes. We want to make up our homes. We both, she also wants to, I also want to. We are pining for one another. The poor small children, but the Muftis, they're breaking up. They're not giving permission. You gave the talaq, and now you're blaming them. They, no Mufti makes any person a kafir. No Mufti gives talaq to anyone. We do it. They only say the ruling, that if you do this, if you say this word, you will lose your iman. If you give the talaq, talaq is fallen. They only give the ruling. They don't do, that is what you do. So our dressing on each day also, let us not now go and give vent and we dress like the kuffar or our children. What clothes we are going to buy for our children. Today, small, small children, innocent, ma'asum, they came from Allah, with no guna on them. And then, kullu mauludin yuladu alal fitra, born on the natural straight path. But then, what kind of clothes do we buy? You see that clothes with all murat on that clothes, were all photos, pictures, all that on that child. And now, the farishtas don't come. Then the child is crying all the time, and the child grows up in a wrong way. A tree, one person in front of his house, a tree was growing. Not the those days when the municipality took care of the roads. Every person in front of his house, he had to take care. So they told him, the thorny tree is growing here, uproot it. It's going to cause inconvenience to people who want to walk. So he said, it's still small, so far. Procrastinating, I'll see to it, I'll do it. In the meantime, the tree grew strong, and he became weak as he grew older. Now when he was too old, he can't take out that strong tree. Now the thorn and the tree has grown big, and covering up the whole place, people can't walk there. So our bad habits are like that. We leave them, small children, why are you so petty? And small, small matters with the children also. They're still small, they're only children still. But the very same habits, if not cared for, they have become big habits and terrible habits. And afterwards, you won't be able to take them out. You're starting them off now with the cell phone, with the TV. How many mothers, for their own free time, they will drug the child with Panado syrup or drug the child with the TV, put some cartoons on. And all cartoons and all games, every cartoon and game has got shaitaniyat behind it. And that is now we're bringing up the children. And then we're keeping their names, beautiful names. Muhammad, Aisha, Khadija. Were they like that? How were they brought up? We should consider. So now with the Eid balls which come, all Western things, they have Christmas balls, we have Eid balls. This is all out of the question. Well, no, don't go in the wrong, after doing so much of good, now we go and spoil it right at the end. And we destroy everything. And hopefully we won't, but make sure we pass the message that is a duty, not only of the ulama to tell other people. Everyone, kullukum ra'in, wa kullukum mas'ulun ar-ra'iyati, man ra'a minkum munkaran. Whoever sees a wrong being done, فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ. For everyone this command is, it isn't just that the ulama must see, the ulama are not talking about it, the ulama are not making effort. Every individual is responsible. So with this Eid coming, the food that we go overboard, as though we really, Allah made us keep roza, may kept us hungry, we didn't eat nothing. We didn't have seri also the way we carry on. We didn't have iftari also. Now each day we're going to town. How many people get sick on each day? Overeating. Many people, with the overeating, they become sick also. So take it easy. My one auntie, Allah grant them all Jannah, each day she should eat very little. She said the stomach to change over suddenly, and your normal appetite again. You don't give your stomach that undue stress. Eat, but don't overeat. Be very careful and slowly bring your body back again. Because Ramzan, 30 days, rozas, we kept the roza, the body got accustomed to a certain pattern. Now don't just go and the whole Ramzan, we didn't have breakfast. Now each day for breakfast, you have your lunch also, and you have your supper also. But when lunchtime will come, your lunch again properly. And you forgot you had your breakfast. And you forget you are invited for supper. Or you have invited other people. We're eating three full meals. And so what's going to happen? So all these wrong things, we should avoid them totally. And make what Ramzan is and the end. We are led to Qasam of Wal Asr and Wal Fajr. These are valuable. That Asr, time is going now. Fajr time, we know. If you got up, if you overslept one some days, then you see, I've got only 5 minutes. I have to still go toilet, I have to make wuzu, I have to make my sunnah, I have to make so little time. So very little time. These times are very precious. And the amount of goodness that is in Asr namaz and in Asr time and in Fajr. Hafidhu ala salawati wa salatil wusta. Be very careful about all your namazes. Look after them. Do them properly. And particularly the middle namaz. Some ulama have said the middle namaz is Asr namaz. Some of them have said it's Fajr namaz. That the two namazes of the night on this side and the two namazes of the day on that side. So whichever case it might be, look after our namazes. And namaz, Allah says, وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. And stand in front of Allah in the form of qanitin. Qanitin, qunut, humbleness, humility. Don't stand like a proud person, neither in your thoughts, neither in your body. Way how you are standing, it must be able to be seen that this is a humble person. So that is what is required. And make your namazes and look after them. Looking after the namazes, do the namazes properly. So all now, as we are coming to the end, al-ibratu bil-khawateen. How is it? If naturally a person feels that I didn't spend my Ramadan correctly. The great buzurgs of the past, 6 months after Ramadan, they cried to Allah, we didn't spend our Ramadan properly. The next 6 months, they start preparing for next year's Ramadan, that we must do now that Ramadan correctly. And really, Ramadan was an ideal occasion for our islah also, tazkiyah also, for our ta'abbud, our ibadat also. And it was also a time to our character, reformation, for everything it was. Now it's coming to an end. Let us try and cover up and make up still. We are not right at the end still. We've got a week left. We can still, if we missed out on anything, we can still make it up and then make this month, and that will be Eid, really. Eid is for those people not who will be putting up big pots of food and biryani and all that. Eid will be for those people who refine their character, who found Allah Ta'ala, the greatest thing. Our akhlaq became right. Our character that people say, like for example, somebody you say, you're losing weight, what's wrong? Or you're putting up weight, you are putting up too much weight. People must be able to say, your character is refined now. That is what must be. Then if the wife says it, then nurun ala nur. That person, there is no doubt that is a wali of Allah. Anyone whose wife is happy with him, and she gives him an NOC, no objection certificate. He keeps me so well, he's got no objection with me. Then know that you're a wali. A person who loves his wife, that person is a wali of Allah. Not a person who has got a lust for his wife. And he's only very good to her when he wants to satisfy himself. But otherwise he treats her like the housemaid. And he just orders her, do this, do that, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. No, but a person, on one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, should I not inform you of the person who is more closer, higher to Allah than a person who's making the whole night ibadat and the whole day roza is keeping? Somebody who's even more higher. Then they say, please inform us. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, a person who's got hilam. Hilam, sabr, a major part, a high part of sabr. On one occasion, Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi, rahmatullah alayhi, saw two people fighting. And in the fight, the one said, I'll give you 10, I'll swear you 10 times, 10 swear words I'll use. He said, I will swear you 100 times. Maulana said, swear me 1,000 times. You only hear one swear word from my side. And that made them make peace also. They came right. So no matter what people tell us, we must have that tolerance in us. That not a meh-meh, too-too. That the wife says, your father is like this, your mother is like that. Your father, your grandfather, your whole family like that. All the time, one, they say, take out one fault of yours, you take out 10 faults of theirs. No, you tolerance. No matter what the wife says. One wife told her husband, you know you, nah, whatever I tell you, it goes in one ear, it comes out from the other ear. I tell you to buy bread, you don't come with the bread. I tell you to buy milk, you don't come with the milk. So he told, and you know you, nah, that whatever I tell you, it goes in this ear, it comes out from your mouth. That it just all goes, it comes out from the mouth, everything. So that is the nature of woman. And Allah made them, Allahu Akbar. وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً. We made some of you as a test for others. The husband is a test for the wife to see how he is going to treat her. She is a test for him. وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً. أَتَصْبِرُونَ. Are you going to make sabr? We made it, they're going to say things that you don't like. That they're going to do things that you don't like. Are you going to make sabr? وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ بَصِيرًا. And Allah is watching all the time. You are in your imtihan, imtihan room you are. You are writing your imtihan paper and Allah is watching what you are writing. So all this will come. So that is, and then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, must I not show you the position of a person more higher? Even then, that person who keeps whole day roza, whole night ibadat, who's got hilam, who's got this high quality of sabr. And in this also, many of us know the injunctions of the Quran and the hadith to take revenge. Al-aynu bil-ayn, wal-anf bil-anf. That you are permitted to take revenge. No doubt. They know what is the bitterness of taking revenge. They don't know the sweetness of forgiving. That if you forgive, in America, one lady judge who was known for her justice and treating her cases very well, a Christian lady, but a very good judge also. A Christian man stole from a Muslim shop and the case came in front of her. And when they were there and the Muslim man said, I forgive him. He had some necessity, that's why he went and steal. And when she saw his reasoning, that made her change, she accepted Islam. And not only accepted Islam, through her, how many people? One lady wrote to her, I haven't met you, I don't know you, but what you have done, I've also accepted Islam. How Islam spread, when we have got this akhlaq and character. So anyway, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, must I not show you a person more greater than that person also? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, a person who has got hilam with regard to his wife. And that with his wife, not only with other people you tolerate and you overlook, but with your wife, and you treat her like a queen. As long as a woman is in the house of her father, she's a princess of the palace. When she gets married, she's the queen of your house. Treat her like a queen, and you will get treatment like a king. And if you treat her like dirt, She will treat you like a dustbin. You won't be a husband, you'll be a dustbin. And then she will treat you like that. What you give, you will get. If we show good character, we show compassion, kindness, that is what we will get in return. And if we want to show our dirty, filthy side, that is what we will get in return. So now, Ramzan is coming to an end. Don't spoil it on a bad note. And try, and on each day, let us not get involved. Undo all the good we did. And many people say that we just fell down on each day. No, let that not happen. And let us determine that every Ramzan I have to make it. And I have to go further. And a person to whom Allah opened, he will be back here before Ramzan next year. To spend 40 days that I didn't spend my last Ramzan properly, I'm here again. I benefited. But I saw the roads were opening and there are still huge, not places. I have to still traverse. I have to travel. And I have to cover up lots still. A person will become more eager. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.